Codega is a guide and a storyteller, escorting you through the night, lighting the way, warding off thieves, ghosts, demons, and other oddities. Along the journey, his companions would often share with him the most curious of stories that he'd record in his codex. Perhaps you just might find yourself traveling with the Codega and sharing one of yours.
Hey everyone, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. I just want to say welcome to Codega's Codex of Curiosities. I'm your guide, Ry Voss, and tonight we'll be taking you on a pretty cool trip. We're going to be, you know, looking at some curiosities such as some Bigfoots and possibly some paranormal. So when that comes, you know, I hope you guys enjoy it with our guest, Robbie Vegas. And of course, we got music driving by. Like I always say, I record live on my rooftop here in Mexico, and elections going on right now. So people are driving by, broadcasting their stuff. And so that's not my background music. It's someone else's. So always good times. Good times we always have here on the rooftop. A couple little things of housekeeping. I just want to say thank you, everyone, for watching, commenting, and liking the episodes. You know, we're on audio and we're on video. Those are listening on audio. On our video on YouTube, I'm releasing more episodes, so come on over, check it out. I have a Patreon, $5 membership, gets you a shout out and a big thank you. And then there's $25 membership, which gets you some merch, some shirts, some other stuff as well. And it really helps us. So, you know, I don't want to put anything behind a paywall. I want to keep everything up front and free. So by doing those things, that's how I can do it. All right. And also, I have a merch store. So for those of you who haven't checked it out, go down below, check it out. It's a Printify pop-up store. I hope you enjoy it. Okay. One last thing. If you really want to help and support the show, share the show. That's the biggest thing. I want you to share it or rate us. Give us 5 stars. Give us 3 stars. Give us 1 star. That's fine. You rate it how you feel the show is for you. Okay. Without further ado, I'm going to bring on our very special guest, Mr. Robbie Vegas. Hello there, Robbie. Welcome. Welcome to Codega's Codex of Curiosities.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to do it.
Awesome, man. I'm excited too. I heard you on Tony's show, and I was like, this sounds pretty damn cool, and I definitely want to hear a little bit more about these experiences. So for our viewers and our listeners who don't know anything about you, Robbie, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and perhaps where they can find you and anything else?
Sure. Yeah, I'm a professional wrestler and a rock musician. So I started playing live shows when I was about 13 or 14, and I've been doing that ever since. And I do have music out on Apple and Spotify and Google Play and Amazon Music and anywhere that you could find music, really. And I am working on a new single currently, which should hopefully be out sometime late this summer or maybe even early fall, depending on how my schedule goes. Been professional wrestling for 13 years. And I do some work with WWE as an extra and, you know, just travel the indie scene and kind of wrestle wherever I get booked. And I also host my own podcast, the All Bets Are Off with Robbie Vegas podcast, where I interview rock stars, professional wrestlers, horror movie actors, authors. And we do a lot of album breakdowns and movie reviews and stuff like that.
Cool. That is... You're living the life of a rock star pretty much. That is awesome. If you don't mind me asking, what got you into wrestling? You know, like wrestling I find fascinating. I love it. And one of my good friends, he's the host of Sasquatchers. He was wrestling as well until he broke his neck. And now he a podcast host.
All right. Well, I was a lifelong fan. I had two older cousins that watched it. And we'd go over there and watch all the big shows, the Survivor Series and the WrestleManias and stuff like that. And never really knew how to get into it, but music was a passion of mine, so I started with that. And when I was in my very early 20s, I was working out in the gym, and I discovered the independent wrestling scene. And a guy that I recognized from that came up to me and had made a comment about the amount of weight I was pushing for somebody my size, asked me if I ever thought about becoming a wrestler. And I was like, all the time. So he took me to a school. I went to a couple classes. Didn't really care for the school, but I did care to learn how to wrestle. So I did my own research and I found Brian Jennings, who became my trainer, and I trained under him for a long time. And then once I started getting booked on shows and doing seminars and stuff like that, I just kind of hit the ground running. And now I am one of three coaches at my own wrestling school. So I do that 3 days a week. We have classes, and then I'm still traveling the indie wrestling scene right now as well. And yeah, you can keep up with everything I'm doing on my Instagram, which is Robbie_Vegas_official. And Robbie is with a Y, not an IE.
Perfect. Perfect. No, that is awesome. I'm definitely going to check that out. And I'm sure my friend Andrew here, he's going to eat that all up too. He's a huge wrestling fan. I feel bad that I believe he got hit by a truck, actually, is how he broke his neck, which is,
oh man.
Yeah. Crazy, but he's doing much better. He's doing much better. No, that is awesome. So you get around the greater USA for these shows. Now, I know that leads us into your experience, right? And why don't you tell a little bit of background? Like, so from what I understood is that you've always been a fan of Bigfoot. You know, you're interested in it. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, and then we go into this experience?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm not really sure where it all started, but I was just always fascinated with the idea that Bigfoot could be out there and that we just don't know it. And I was kind of always fascinated by anything of that nature, like Loch Ness, Megalodons. I had a huge fascination with sharks in general, so it just, of course, naturally led me to Megalodons. And I would watch, you know, the Discovery Channel for Shark Week and stuff like that. And then I remember, you know, every time there was like some kind of Bigfoot documentary or like an investigation or a hunt or something like that, I had to watch it. It was just, I really couldn't even explain why. I just was so into it. And, you know, through wrestling and traveling around the country and the US and Canada and all that, I got to go to a lot of cool places. And one time specifically, we were on a trip to Vermont to wrestle. And it was me, two other wrestlers, and one of their wives or girlfriends or whatever she was at the time. And so we were driving, and we got to this place where there was signs, Bigfoot Festival, and like all the souvenir shop, and there was a Bigfoot statue in the middle of the town. Like, it was really cool. And I was looking around, and I was like, I've seen this place before. And the other guys were like, oh, you've been here? And I was like, no, but I've definitely seen this place before. And I realized that I've seen a documentary on Bigfoot that they did in this town. And, you know, I thought that was awesome. And those guys were afraid, but I was interested. And we hadn't made it to the show yet, so there was no time to stop. So we kind of just drove through. We hit this area that we called the dead zone because there was no streetlights. There was no radio signal. There was no cell phone signal. There was no houses. There was nothing. It was just this long stretch where there was just, it was like
silence.
It was just, it was eerie. It was like every now and then you'd see like a little dilapidated like shack.
Yeah.
But there was like, it was the perfect mix of like a story like this, because it's like, it's a horror movie.
Exactly. There actually is an area in Mexico, because I live in Mexico. There's an area in Mexico that's actually called the Zone of Silence. So this sounds eerily reminiscent of that. So yeah, we'll call it the Zone of Silence in Vermont.
Yeah, it was crazy. And like, and at the time, like I didn't know specifically like if we were directly in Vermont, if we were just outside Vermont, like, because it was just this weird area, you know. And then later on I actually saw a movie based in that same area, which is kind of funny after the fact. But so we're driving through, and I'm like, wow, that was really creepy. And we go and we wrestle, we do the show, and it was like, all right, let's get out of here. We could take turns sleeping in the car, or, you know, let's you know, hit the road. So we're driving, and the guy's girlfriend falls asleep, and the three guys are awake, and we hit the dead zone, and it is pitch black. I mean, it is darker than dark. So we have the high beams on, and me being the horror movie guy and the Bigfoot guy that I am picking on these guys because they're like, I hope we don't see anything. So I have my cell phone out. I got the flashlight on my cell phone, and I'm shining it back and forth, and I'm going, oh, we're going to see a Bigfoot. We're going to catch a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
He comes around the corner, and we see this massive creature. and all of us at the exact same time. I dropped my phone.
Oh, shit.
The driver sat up and was like, what the F? And the guy in the back seat sat up. Whoa. And we kind of just saw it. The high beams hit it. And we came around this bend and it turned. And it took like 1 to 2 steps. It didn't take much because its stride was so long. And it disappeared into the woods.
Wow.
And we drove through and we all kind of looked at each other. She's sleeping. She saw nothing.
Yeah.
And we all kind of looked at each other and we were terrified. I picked up my phone, turned the flashlight off, and we kind of sat because in my mind, I'm like, it's pitch black. We can't go anywhere right now because if we floor it, we're going to drive off the road because it was a very windy road.
Okay. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Even with the high beams on, any kind of sharp turn, we're going to, you know, crash this rental car. We're going to owe a bunch of money or get eaten. I don't know. But either way, it was like, you know, there's, like I said, no cell service, no radio, no nothing. And we didn't really say much until we were back in an area where everything clicked back on.
Okay.
And then it was, okay, tell me what you saw. And once we all confirmed that we saw the same thing, it was one of those, oh my God, moments. And of course, those guys were afraid to begin with. So they're blaming me. Like, you had to screw around. You had to screw around. Said, I don't think Bigfoot, you know, knows that I was screwing around. But, you know, it's cool to look back on now. And it was like a wild experience. But in the heat of the moment, it was very scary because like you're seeing this massive creature and standing next to like a big boulder.
Okay.
And the boulder like came up to its hip maybe. And this thing was like massive. Like the boulder itself was massive. So this thing was way bigger than that. And it was just... It was one of those things you'll never forget, but I also will never forget how scared I was in that moment of actually seeing that. Yeah.
Like it's something you've always wanted to see it. And then it's like, well, here I am. And yeah, no, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Now, if you could describe it a little bit, you know, like were you able to get like color, height, were you able to see the face at all or what did you see? Yeah.
It was brief, but, you know, it was enough. And now so many years have passed that I even question my own, you know, memory at this point.
Of course.
Because now I'm like, was I so scared that I could have exaggerated something? Because I, you know, I try to be objective.
Yeah.
But it was gray. It was definitely upright. It walked like a man for sure. Just a very, very large man.
Mm-hmm.
It had a lot of, you know, it had a face like a man, except, you know, a lot of hair, a lot of gray hair, like around the features, but like eyes, nose, mouth, like seemed very human-like. But, you know, we saw them for seconds.
Yeah.
You know, same thing, like very long arms, hands, you know, had hair right up to the knuckles, you know. And it was, I for the longest time would say like 8 feet, but I'm going to say just between 8 and 10 feet, just because I'm very bad at judging, you know, height, especially when you're scared and driving by.
Of course.
But I would say no less than 8.
Wow. That is a huge, and width wise, maybe like 4 or 5 feet width wise.
Yeah. This thing was wide. Like it had some shoulders. Like it definitely, you know, if Sasquatch could bench press, I mean, he's a strong dude.
Exactly. Yeah. Get him in the circuit, the independent circuit. There we go.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not like I'm like a short guy or anything. I'm 6'1". Like, well, I'm a little over 6'1".
Yeah.
So like to say that something was like huge and like 8 feet tall, that's pretty big. Cause I'm not exactly like small.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Wow. And these other guys, after the fact, you know, have they ever talked to you again about this incident, or did they, you know, did they wake up the girlfriend and tell her, or did you guys kind of keep it hush hush?
We didn't tell her. She woke up at a rest stop and we filled her in. I think she thought that we were like joking at first until she saw that we were like pretty shaken up. But we've talked about it. We talked about it, obviously, that night once we felt like we were far enough away. We talked about it. And I did make them stop so I could take a picture of the statue, too, by the way.
Perfect.
So
they were
pretty mad about that. They were like, after we just saw that, and I was like, we're in a safe area now and there's streetlights and I'm not going to get out of the car.
And all the more reason to take a picture. Yes. You know.
Right, right. Yeah. So I do have the picture of the statue still on my phone, so I'll have to send that to you.
Definitely.
But I did make them stop for that. But we've talked about it. You know, like since then, I think we've mentioned it a couple times, but I think I'm the one that has done most of the talking about it because I'm the most interested in it.
Oh, of course.
And yeah, I think they just wanted to like move on and forget about it because they were afraid before we even saw anything. So,
and wow, I can only imagine now. Yeah, that's just incredible. Now, like, I off topic, but is it normal for you to like wrestle and then just get right back in the car and head right back?
Yes, because it's a way of saving money on hotels. So like, you know, we had the rental car taken care of and all that stuff. And, you know, they gave us the rental car and the gas for it and all that. And it's like, well, let's just take our pay and pocket it and not, you know, instead of, you know, all four of us sharing a hotel room just to save a couple bucks, why don't we just trade off sleeping in the car and drive? And sometimes you have to leave right away anyway because you have a show, you know, the next day that you have to get there for call time. And if you don't leave right after the show that you're at, you'd never make it in time. So it's like we have to sleep on the way to the next show sometimes.
Oh, shit. That's crazy. Yeah. The life of a wrestler, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, here's a question. Have these guys now... are they more inclined to like get a hotel room after this incident? Like, yeah, I don't feel like driving tonight. Yes.
Well, honestly, I couldn't tell you because we don't travel together much anymore because they're not as active at the moment.
Okay.
I would assume that if it was something like that, where it was late at night, I bet you they would.
It's like, I don't mind losing a couple of bucks, you know? Right. I'm going to spend the night. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Interesting. Yeah. And after that incident, you know, did it like spurn you on more to like investigate more, or was it just like, now I know this is for real, and you just kept the passion going, or did it increase this desire to know more?
I would never say that I actually went out looking for it after that, but it didn't deter me from like having such a heavy duty interest in it. I still watched the documentaries and, you know, I read a few books on it after that. And I'd like to read like eyewitness accounts. And, I've always kind of felt like if you're super into like the paranormal, maybe not so much cryptids, but the paranormal, like that stuff tends to find you, like you're more, susceptible to it. If you're open to it, it's like it knows. Because that was actually like technically it was my second Bigfoot experience in two different areas. But the first time I never actually saw, I just had, I was hiking in Lewiston, New York. They call it Devil's Hole. And it's
sounds like a great
Niagara
sounds
Falls.
Like a great place to go. Devil's Hole. Yeah. All right.
Yes. And I was there by myself, by the way.
Of course.
Yeah. And so I'm hiking and I've been there before and it's a dangerous hike. But if you make it to the bottom of the gorge, it's really beautiful. And it's on the Niagara River and there's a whirlpool and it's really cool. And it had just rained a couple days before. So there was like muddy patches here and there. Okay. And I stumbled across this huge, huge footprint and it almost looked human until you got to the top of it. The toes almost looked like claws. They were like sharp. They were almost like pointed.
Wow. Okay.
And it was huge. And like, I wear a size 11 and it was much bigger than my foot. And, as I was crouched down looking at it, so off to my right, there was the gorge where if I slipped, I would have fell into the Niagara River and got swept away and we wouldn't be having this conversation. And to my left, there was a little slope and the slope was just filled with trees and there was some kind of berries or something, you know, hanging from the trees or growing. I don't know what they are because I'm not like a big, like,
you forager know, nature
kind of. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I never had to survive on twigs and berries. So I don't know. But so I was looking at this footprint and I got hit. And I thought for a second that, you know, it might have fell from above me, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But nothing was hanging directly above me, it was on the slope. That was to my left.
Okay.
And it was coming at me diagonally. So why they would fall out of the tree diagonally is why I was like, that couldn't have just fallen.
Yeah.
You know?
Of course.
And the closest one to me was too far for it to get to me if it was the wind or something. Because I always try to debunk these things. I'm not quick to just be like, oh, something's up there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got pegged a couple times and there was some like force to it. And I remember, you know, reading a book about Bigfoot and Sasquatch saying that, you know, they throw things to like get your attention. And I was like, am I like, and I'm standing next to this footprint that was relatively fresh and I was looking through the trees and I couldn't see anything. And I was like kind of standing there for a second. And I decided to just turn back and, you know, I didn't even finish the hike cause I was completely alone. And I was like, I'm just going to go back to my car. So
I think that was a good choice.
Yeah, I think so. And then I Googled, because which I had never thought of before, but I just wanted to see if there was ever sightings in the area.
Yeah.
And it turned out that there was. And I was like, did I just have an experience? So that's not anything I can confirm because I didn't physically see anything. But it was a very strange footprint, and the way that I was getting pegged with stuff, I was like, that seems weird. And then I find out that there's been sightings down there, and it just kind of like made sense.
Of course, yeah. I would confirm. I'd say, yeah, that was a Bigfoot experience, not a sighting, but some sort of
right.
experience of, yeah, crazy. And what about the width of that? Was that, you know, like maybe like 10 inches wide, or what are you thinking about width wise?
So in this case, it was strange because it was really long, but it wasn't super wide.
Okay.
And that's kind of why I didn't think, oh, Bigfoot, as soon as I saw it,
I was just
kind of looking at it like, that's really strange. And the, like the claws, like I said, because I don't think I'd ever heard of that before. And like, I watch these shows where they show like molds and stuff like that. And I'm like, I've never seen one look like this. So not to say that it was, you know, super thin or anything, but it just wasn't as wide as like I'd come to believe that they would be.
Yeah.
So again, I can't really confirm or deny. But at the same time, like it was just a really strange coincidence.
Oh, of course. That would be amazing though, to see that and just to be part of that. I know when I was really young, I was about 12 years old and I discovered what I thought was a Bigfoot footprint. And I tried bringing my father and my sister to come take a look at it. And this is something I found is that sometimes people don't want to see these things. Well, you know, and they will do things to avoid it. And that was one of those scenarios where they wouldn't come. They would not come. They're like, no, it's okay. No, that's nothing. It's not what you think it is. And I'm like, it's only like, you know, like a 5-minute walk. And it was in this creek bed, in this muddy creek bed. And there was a couple of these footprints and they never came. So really interesting. So that is a great story. Now you said paranormal. You said, you know, sometimes it seems to, if you're open to it, it just seems to keep coming.
Yeah. I've learned a lot about that over the years, so I try not to be as open to it anymore.
I can totally relate with you on this. Like paranormal for me it's like a magnet, you know, and And once you seem to open that door, and this actually, I will say, also happens with people who have cryptid sightings or cryptid experiences as well. They seem to have that or UFO experiences. It kind of seems to have that. Myself, for me, it's paranormal. So Robbie, let's hear some of your paranormal experiences.
I have so many.
It's like, where do we start?
Yeah. I wish I knew what my first one was. But I will say that I was always like Bigfoot and horror movies and stuff like that. I was super into the paranormal, but I liked to hear the based on true events or read about people's real stories or watching, you know, I love Ghost Adventures and Paranormal Lockdown and, you know, Ghost Hunters and all that stuff. I could watch those all night long, all day long. I can't get enough in the history that comes with it, you know.
Of course.
You know, I used to go to haunted places and try and find that stuff on purpose. I don't do that anymore. I used to play with Ouija boards. I don't do that anymore. But at the time, probably... we moved into my mom's where she still lives, and there used to be a lot more activity there than there is now, to the point where, you know, I could be laying on the couch in the living room, and on the other side of the wall of the couch were the stairs, you know, coming down from the upstairs, and they were very loud stairs. Whenever somebody was coming up or down, you knew it. You knew it clear as day. And there were countless times when I would hear somebody walk all the way down the stairs and get to the floor. And once they got to the floor, if you just looked over your head, like, you know, you could see them, and I would look and there would be nobody there, and it would happen all the time. And I could hear like lights clicking on in the basement when nobody was down there, and, you know, things like that. So fast forward a few years, I'm older, and we get a Ouija board that a friend of mine, his mom found it. We have no idea where it came from. It definitely was not a Milton Bradley Ouija board. It was like the real deal.
Wow.
And, you know, us being us, I was like, I'll take it. And I, you know, I took it to my mom's because I'm like, I hear stuff here. I've seen stuff here. So let's, like, you know, this is the place to do it if we're going to do it. And we triggered a chain of events that were just awful. And I will not play with a Ouija board anymore. I have a totally different view on those now. My buddy Dan liked it so much. He actually got a planchette tattooed on his hand.
Okay.
Because he, whereas I'm like, no way, yeah. He now collects them. So he's got a whole bunch of them.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Because he was so amazed at the evidence that we were getting that he took it a totally different direction than I did, where he was actually like, this is pretty amazing. And I was like, that's because you don't live here. But I recall one night, it was pitch black down there. And sometimes we would play with a group of people, and other times it was just me and him, because we got pretty obsessed with it, you know. And we would ask it questions that there was no way this thing could know the answer to, and it would be right. And I remember one night we were playing, and it was a long basement, and half the basement was finished, and the other half was for like laundry and storage and things. And there was a door. It wasn't like a curtain or just like a other side of the room. It was completely closed off. And the door was closed, and we would hear really loud moaning, like moans. And it almost sounded like you would hear in like a zombie movie. And it was clear as day. Like, I mean, there was no mistaking that it was coming from the other room in the basement. And it was really scary. And it got to the point where it freaked us out that night. We'd heard it a few times, but that specific night, it was so frequent and so loud that we actually just left. Like, we just couldn't do it. And we went to a friend's house for a couple hours. And then obviously I had to come back because I still lived there. And when we pulled up, it was like super late. It was somewhere between 1 and 3 in the morning. Again, it's been so long now since I've told this story that I couldn't tell you an exact time, but I remember him pointing up at a window, and he said, "Why is that light on?" And I looked up and I was like, "That's the attic." And he's like, "Why would somebody be in the attic right now?" I'm like, "I don't think they are." So that kind of freaked me out, and having to go back in and walk past the attic door to get to my bedroom was not exactly ideal that night. And I was very freaked out.
Of course.
Very freaked out. Yeah. So that's just one story of playing with the Ouija board, but there's so many. I just feel like I could just keep rattling them off.
It's funny you talk about the Ouija board. I was just actually on, a guest on actually another podcast just before this. And I brought up the Ouija board as well, because, you know, as kids do, it's, hey, and it was the Milton Bradley version. Let's go to Toys R Us and buy the Ouija board, you know, and mm-hmm. like, what are they doing selling that? But yeah. And so we played with it, and I think it amped things up. It ramped things up in our house. You know, I had a shadow person floating over my bed, you know, with red glowing eyes in the middle of the night. And that was the ultimate experience that I ever had as in, oof. Yeah. crazy, but I say they're like a doorway, they're a gateway, and you don't yes. know who's on the other side. It could be your grandma, but it could be a demon right. being your grandma, pretending to be your grandma as well. You don't
yes.
know.
Yeah. And that's the part that after doing some more research, I was like, we don't know, because I've read about like the tricksters and the, mm-hmm. you know, they pose as other people or as friendly, and they open portals in your house. And, I know that about 10 years after all of these events took place, I know I only told you about one, but there was a bunch. And my sister's friend went to a psychic, and the psychic asked for my sister, who was not there, by the way, who she'd never met, and said, she needs to come in here right now. So my sister went, and they basically said that because of the Ouija board stuff, that we caused a severe attachment to my sister. And she basically said, have you ever seen the movie Insidious? Because that's what's about to happen to you.
Wow.
And so the psychic caught it and told her how to get rid of this attachment that we caused with the Ouija board. And she said, he's angry, and he's going to try and take over and get stronger because he's getting impatient.
Really? That is, mm-hmm. that is terrifying. Terrifying.
Yeah. When I heard that, I was like, oh my God. Cause it was like, it was really like 10 years later.
Yeah. And how long did you know, use, I don't even want to say play, because that's such a terrible, like, how long mm-hmm. did you use the Ouija board before you finally were like, that's it, I'm done? Or was there an event that spurned that to be like, that's it, I'm done?
I think it was a combination of all the events, because we did it for probably a good like 6 months. And it was pretty consistent. You know, we were young, we had the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we used our free time to do that. And, then, like I said, doing some research and stuff, it was like, and it, you know, and this was a while ago, so it's not like I had a Google in my pocket, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I remember one night playing the board and going into my room after, and I shut the door behind me. And mind you, this is two floors up from the basement because it was a two-story house and we had the finished basement. And the door opened behind me. And I turned around, I closed the door. And I just remember thinking, if something's standing on the other side of this door, I don't want to see it. So I closed the door, and as I stepped back, it opened. And I closed it again. And as I was pulling my hand away from it, it opened forcefully and hit me in the hand. So I slammed it shut really hard as if to say, like, knock it off.
Yeah.
And it finally, you know, stuck and, like, left me alone. I slept with the light on that night. And, you know, like, little things like that starting to add up. It was like, I don't want to play this anymore. And I got it out of the house because I was like, it's making things more active here, just being here. Even if we're not using it, just because it's in the basement sitting on the table. You know, there were times where the planchette flew off the table. I remember seeing a shadow figure come out of one of the rooms and turn the computer on. Like, the computer was off. And it was an old, like, you know, desktop tower, big bubble monitor. It wasn't no flat screen or anything.
Yeah, and you have to, like, press that button in nice and hard to turn it on. Yeah.
Exactly. And then, you know, it slowly lights up because the tubes are warming up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was like that. If that thing can turn on the computer, what else can it do? You know what I mean?
Right. Wow. Yeah, I see it's kind of a synchronistic that you said about this entity turning on a computer, because I had a incident where I was working on a computer. I was grade 8 maybe, you know, and I was working on a computer and it was my journal and it was private and I had to go out and feed the horses and I can look in and you can see exactly where the computer is. It's at night, it's nighttime, and it was, you know, the light was on inside. You can see completely. And I saw some entity sitting at the computer, you know, which took on the form of my grandma, who was still alive, mind you, but it looked identical to my grandma. And I remember looking up and I'm like, what is my, you know, like, of course it looks like my grandma, but I'm like, my grandma's not here. So I'm like, why am I, like, you know, it must be my sisters or my mom on the computer. And this is my journal and I don't want them reading. So I ran down, fed the horses, came back. And I was like, who was up there? They're like, no one. We've been down here watching TV the whole time. Like, no. Someone was upstairs. They're like, no, we were here the whole time. No one's left. Yeah. So it's, I don't know. I've always felt like screens are somewhat of a portal themselves. You know, like if we look into scrying, you know, scrying uses a black mirror. Well, you know, what is this? You know, isn't that some form of scrying or portal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that and believe that. And it's crazy the way that electronics could, you know, be used for, like, energy or pick things up even. Cause I had an event on my own podcast not too long ago where I picked up an EVP on accident. I was doing, we were doing the Kiss draft where we were drafting our favorite Kiss songs from the 80s. And it was me and my cousin was on, Chaz, and we had a couple of the guys from Adler's Appetite and Wednesday 13. And as the drummer from Wednesday 13, Mike, was talking, he paused and something went, shut up. And we didn't hear it when we were recording.
Of course.
And I didn't catch it when I was editing. But I released the podcast, and when I was listening to it in my car, I heard it and I looked and I was like, did that just come from my, so I rewound it and I took a screen capture on my phone and I sent it to him and I said, what do you hear? And he was like, something just told me to shut up. And I was like, and there was five of us on, you know, we were using StreamYard.
Yeah.
And there was five of us on. So it was like, whose house did that come from? And it was none of our voices. And we would have known if one of us said shut up while we were recording, cause we could see each other.
Of course.
And it was just the craziest thing. This was just a few months ago.
You know what's amazing is I was thinking about that. I've been edit, like, you know, when I edit all these, all my podcasts, like, of course I do the video, but I also do audio ones as well. I've often wondered, I'm like, because I blitz through them because it takes a while, you know, you're just like, ah, go fast.
Yeah.
But I've often wondered, I wonder if I've ever caught any EVPs. And then you bring this up and I'm like, okay, maybe I need to start spending some more time listening to these episodes after the fact and see if I can catch any EVPs. Because you know, in this type of industry, I'm sure there's going to be something, you know, you could. Mm-hmm. And I often thought about like running a show where we kind of tried to see if we can catch anything on purpose. But that's cool. That is cool that you actually got someone and yelling. Now, did it kind of fit the narrative or what do you think? Like the shut up, did it kind of fit in with anything or was it completely utterly random?
No, it was so random. It almost seemed like it was really telling Mike to shut up because he paused. I can't even remember off the top of my head now what he was talking about, but it's still out there, so I can go back and find it because I left it up.
Definitely want to hear that one. Yes.
He was talking about obviously something Kiss related, and it was just a quick pause for him to like move on to the next thing that he was about to say, and it just snuck it right in there perfectly in that pause. Just shut up. And then he starts talking again, and I'm like, what was that?
Wow.
It was none of us, so it was really strange.
That is interesting. So do you have any more other like highlights, any other like big events of any paranormal events that really stick out to you that maybe, you know, really caused, gave you a fright or something like that, or just you found fascinating or some sort of glitch or something like that?
Yeah, there was probably like three things just ran through my mind, maybe four when you said that.
Let's do it.
There was another one in my mother's basement. I was sitting at the computer desk. It was like one of those big L-shaped desks. And there was a wall about 5 feet behind me. And there's a picture of Jesus that hung on that wall. And I was on the computer one day, and the picture just hit me in the back. And I don't know how a picture could travel 5 feet perfectly straight to hit me in the back. There was glass block windows and they were closed, so there was no like breeze or anything going on. And I kind of turned around and looked at it and was like, how did this come off the wall, like, and not just fall like straight down? So that kind of freaked me out. And just I mean, I guess too, when you think like something like hit me with a picture of Jesus or, you know, like it kind of freaks you out, you know?
Of course. Yeah. That's kind of next level.
Yeah. So like I hung it back up and it never happened again. It wasn't in like a frame or anything. So yeah, it could drift, but to drift perfectly like straight just doesn't make sense to me.
Not at all. Not you know? At all.
And then there was a buddy of mine who stayed with us for one summer. And I remember him telling me that one night, something came out of the other room of the basement. He was sleeping on the couch and it stood over him and just leaned over and stared at him for a long time. And he just felt like he couldn't do anything about it because he was like basically underneath it at that point and was just watching him. And he kind of just like couldn't sleep and just, it didn't really dissipate until the sun started to come up. And I'll never forget him telling me that. And the same friend was in the basement with me once. And we heard running up and down the stairs, going to the second floor, which is not unheard of because I had a little sister. And we just wrote it off as her because we heard a little girl laughing. And then my mom came home and had both of my sisters with her, so nobody was home. And we didn't know that. So the side door opened, which, you know, if you open the side door, you could walk right down into the basement. And we heard all three of them come in, and we just looked at each other and we were like, nobody was here. And it was just, it really freaked us out.
I don't know what it is about little kids laughing. You know, that is the creepiest thing ever. So, yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm.
There was another incident in an apartment I used to live in. This one was more, I wouldn't even say scary. It was just like, wow, what is that?
Okay.
So I was sitting in the living room, and when you could look down the hall, and down the hall was the door to get into the apartment, and I was on the second floor, and right across from that door is a bedroom, and then if you kept going straight ahead, there's a bathroom, and then a bedroom on each side of the bathroom. And all of a sudden, this white mist, and it was dark, and I could see this white mist, like clear as day, come out of the bathroom. But it wasn't like a person, it wasn't walking, it wasn't a full body apparition, it was a mist going across the ceiling almost like a snake. And I was just staring at it, and you know, you try to just, you know, tell yourself, oh, a car is going by, it's headlights or something.
Exactly.
But this thing was going like a snake back and forth, and I was like, that's not a car. And it came all the way down the hall, and there was like a little duck under to get like into the actual living room, and it went under it. And I was like, okay, that's not a car. And then it came right past me and I watched it go, and it just went out the pitcher window, and I never saw it again. And it was one of the strangest things I'd ever seen. And it didn't really scare me as much as I was like, that was incredible, but I don't know what that was.
That is. I know you say you don't know what that was. Do you have any guess? Like, do you have a guess of like, what do you think that could have been?
I always just took it as some kind of spirit, because I was always, you know, from what I've read, if you see like a white mist or a white apparition or white something, it's usually a positive thing.
Okay.
So I took it as some kind of like, that's why I wasn't afraid, because I was like, I mean, it's not dark, it's not black, it's not, it didn't do anything malicious. It just passed right by me and out that went. It was like my apartment was just in the way, and it was like cutting through. It was really weird. Like, because out back there was just like woods.
Yeah.
And it was almost like it just came out of the woods and was just like, I need to go this way. And it just cut through. It was really strange. Yeah.
It's funny. Some of these things that you're saying, it's like, well, guess what just happened? Yeah. So 2 days ago, or hang on. So 2 days ago, in our hallway, for some reason, I've seen three entity type kind of things. And one of them was a white mist that came out the door and went up the stairs. And it was just 2 days ago. And I was just like,
oh my God.
Okay. That was the third one that I saw. The second one that I saw was a little dog. I saw a little dog that looked very similar to my dog, but a little bit different. And then I saw, and I came out of the bedroom again. Another one I saw was a woman coming out of the bathroom and just kind of just, and then just gone. But yeah,
wow.
All in the same day. And I was like, okay, so our this area that we live in, our house is built on top of caves. So there's a cave system, and there was a kind of like a, we'll say like a witch doctor of sorts that lived in this area. And they called him, I believe it was like the bear of the caves. The toro. So the bull of the caves. So this is a kind of a famous, and it's not a good famous, but yeah. So I'm wondering if it has anything to do with it, but it's really interesting.
Yeah. I've learned that, you know, again, when I was younger and I was open to those things, I would have way more experiences. And then I figured out that like, you can close off to that. You can basically say like, no, I don't want, like, don't attach to me, don't come near me, I don't want it, you know, and you can kind of, not saying you can control everything, but you can definitely, I've noticed, like, I have less experiences now. Well, one, I stay away from like Ouija boards and stuff like that. And I don't purposely go to haunted places. But if I end up in a haunted place, I'm always like, no, you can't attach yourself to me. Don't follow me. Don't touch me. Like, I like that goes through my head. I always have a cross on my neck. I have a cross tattooed on my arm. I'm like, no way. You know, like,
perfect.
I'm protected. Don't touch me.
Yeah. That is awesome. So is there anything else that you want to talk about? Any other stories or any other experiences?
There's a place not too far from here called Pigman's Road. That's a very legendary haunted road. And I used to go there and you know, try to see what I could find. And I had a few experiences. And like I said, I used to go to a lot of haunted places on purpose. And I remember one time going with a friend out to Pigman's, and probably in our mid-20s. And the closer we got, I started to feel sick, like physically ill. And I was like, I don't know what's going on, but I don't feel good. And, you know, we got there to the top of Pigman's Road, and I think it's over a mile long, and it's only got one street light right in the middle. And we parked the car, and the plan was to walk the road to see, you know, what we could see here, like whatever. We've done it before, and we saw like and heard minor things, and we were like, let's do it again. And for whatever reason, I was really uneasy, and I felt very sick. And so we parked the car, and we were sitting there, and you could see the street light from where we were sitting at the top of the road. It was in the middle of the road. And I was like, I don't know, something feels weird. I feel like something's like staring at us right now. And right after I said that, the street light got brighter and brighter and brighter and blew out. And I was like, get out of here, get out of here, get out of here. And we just backed up and just took off. And the farther away we got, I wasn't sick anymore.
No.
I just felt like, it's like it knew we were coming, and it was like, don't.
Jeez.
Yeah. So that was a wild one. And then here's one that's like not too bad, and it's kind of recent. Last summer? No, it was in September. I was in St. Charles at the Arcata Theater in Illinois, and there was a concert going on, and I was teching. And it's a haunted theater. And so, you know, they're telling us about it. And I was like, yeah, no, I felt it as soon as I walked in. You get that heaviness where it almost feels like you can't breathe.
Yeah.
If you're sensitive to that stuff, I know it doesn't happen to everybody, but I'm sensitive to it. So as soon as I walked in, I was like, oof, it's like heavy in here. And of course, the dressing rooms are in the basement. And so we were in the basement and they were filling us in and we went up and we were standing on stage and it was during sound check and the bands were sound checking. And I was just kind of, you know, looking around and I thought I saw somebody standing up in the lights during the actual show, actually. But I, you know, during sound check, I was standing, I had my arms crossed, and I felt somebody grab me by the pinky. And I didn't think anything of it at first because there's a lot going on. And I thought somebody was going to say, hey, we need X, Y, or Z over here, or hey, whatever. And because the bands are playing, we can't really hear each other. So, you know, you'll go up and tap people or like grab a hand or something. So I turned expecting somebody to say, we need such and such over there. And nobody was next to me. And I was like, okay, that's strange. So
definitely, definitely. Like, do you think it was possibly like a little girl or something like that, or a little kid, or?
You know, I'm not sure. It was definitely a gentle touch, and it was just literally just my pinky. And I didn't, aside from, you know, thinking I saw somebody up by the lights, I didn't see or feel anything else. It was just that when you first walk in, that tightness, and then there was that moment. And, yeah, I just thought that was strange.
Cool. Those are some fascinating experiences you had, Robbie. I have just a couple questions before we you know, bring this to an end here.
Sure.
So Bigfoot, what are your thoughts on Bigfoot? What do you think it is? How do you feel about that?
I honestly think it's some form of like the missing link. I don't think it's like an interdimensional thing. I don't necessarily buy into any of that. Not saying that it's not possible or that, you know, people who believe that are wrong. Just for me personally, I think it makes more sense that it's like a cryptid. It's a half man, half ape, but it is a physical being that you can touch. I just think that if, you know, there's so many unexplored areas and there's so much to the wilderness. And if something's adapted to living out there, it could disappear if it wants to disappear. It could make sure you don't see it if it doesn't want you to see it. And, you know, people are like, you know, you don't see the remains or whatever, but if they're like a, you know, a step above apes and a step below humans, for all we know, they bury their dead, you know, or, you know, we don't know anything about them. Maybe they eat their dead. I don't know.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm an avid hiker and I don't see, you know, a lot of creatures' dead bodies when I'm hiking. So, you know, so
it's true.
Yeah, that doesn't really hold up for me because I'm like, unless you hike all the time, like, I don't walk around going, oh, there's a dead whatever, there's a dead whatever. Like, you don't see that, you know?
Yeah.
So
that is true. And, you know, like, we talk about camouflage, you know, we you know, you can see the gecko. The gecko is able to change its colors. You know,
right.
You know, the cuttlefish or the squid, they're able to change their colors, or, you know, octopus. Mm-hmm. So why couldn't possibly a mammal of sorts, you know, develop this kind of behavior? Because there's a lot of people who say that they cloak, which is, you know, camouflaging. Mm-hmm. And if you're on the track of like, I believe that they're the missing link. Well, quite possibly they might have developed some sort of defense mechanism to hide that much better than we could ever imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you think of like the Yeti, like they're like, it's just a white Sasquatch. It lives in the snow. So it adapted, you know what I mean? Like, to me, it's the exact same thing. It's just a different, you know, well, this is where it lives. So this is what it looks like because it's easier to hide, you know?
Exactly. I agree. Now, and the last question is, what about the paranormal? What do you feel paranormal is or isn't? What are your thoughts on that?
I think different beings are from different things. So me personally, I do believe in spirits and angels and heaven and things like that. So I do think that some spirits are actually just that. There are souls that are, you know, stuck here or lost or have unfinished business, or maybe they come as a warning, or maybe they come to tell you something good, or, you know, there's a million different reasons why they could still be here. I do believe in residual hauntings, you know, the spirits that just can't move on. So they just live that same moment over and over again, and they're not trying to walk through the wall. But at the time when they were there, there was no wall. So they take that path the way that it was, the way that they remember it. And I also think there's intelligent hauntings, and which are the ones where you could say, hey, turn this light on and the light will turn on. And like, you know, and to have that kind of interaction, it has some kind of, memory, recollections, and like a soul, I would think would carry that. But I do believe that there's bad entities out there that have never been human. You know, there could be other dimensions. They could come from hell. Like, I don't know where they come from. They probably come from all kinds of different places that we know nothing about. But I definitely think that there's both of those things out there.
I love it. Yeah. And I agree with you. I agree with you totally on just about everything that you've said about all of that. And I agree that some of these entities, I don't think have ever been human. Like the one that I saw floating above my bed, the shadow being, I don't think that was human ever. And mm-hmm. I think the Ouija board opened up a portal gateway and this came through.
Yeah, I highly urge anybody who listens to any of my stories when I do these podcasts to not touch those. Like, it sounds like, oh, he had experiences. I'm gonna go get one and see what happens. Like, it really does become a problem.
I totally 100% agree with you. You know, like, I actually don't know what happened to our Ouija board after the fact. You know, like, we had bought it. I don't know what happened. I don't know how long we had it for, and it just seemed to disappear, which was maybe a good thing. Well, no, it was a good thing. So Ravi, I want to say thank you so much for making the time and coming out and, you know, telling me about everything that's going on. And one more time, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you and we'll go from there.
Sure. Yeah. So my Instagram, which is below my name here, if you're watching this, is Robby, Robby, _Vegas_official. You can follow me on X at Robby_Vegas_. And I am also on Facebook, but you're more likely to get more out of me from Instagram and Twitter than anything, mostly Instagram. And I'll post, you know, my new music, where you could find my music. I have a link tree and all that stuff. And I post, you know, my flyers for my music gigs and my flyers for my wrestling gigs. You never know where I'm going to pop up. But you could also follow my podcast across the board on Facebook, Instagram, or X at ABAOPod. It's All Bets Are Off Podcast. I'm really starting to push the socials on that because I ignored them for so long. So, and I'm also now starting to focus more on YouTube as well. I used to do strictly audio for my podcast, but now I'm also doing video, and I'm putting a lot of wrestling videos and promos and interviews and things like that on my YouTube as well. So if you want to subscribe to that.
Thank you so much, Robby.
Thank you. This was fun.
All right, everybody, that was Robby Vegas with some crazy stories, great stories with, you know, with Bigfoot. I definitely think that was a Bigfoot in the prior experience. Actually, I was almost even leaning towards maybe a Dogman kind of, you know, when he was describing those paw prints, you know, like those footprints, but we'll never know. That being said, I want everybody, if you have any experiences, make sure you send me an email, codexofcuriosities@gmail.com. And what else? I don't know. I just want to say thank you everyone for coming on the trip. I love being your guide on these journeys, you know, with all these, amazing stories. And, you know, I, the people that come forward to tell us their experiences, I hope it empowers you to come forward and tell me your experience. And on that note, I want to make sure everybody is happy, having a good time. Make sure you share the show. Like it, share it with your friends, comment, and, you know, keep your curiosities wandering and ensure the light remains lit.
I look forward to our next adventure together as we navigate the mysteries that lie ahead. Until our paths cross again, keep your curiosity wandering and ensure the light remains lit.